Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk. Do you remember Dr. Dobson's touching interview with JJ and Melanie Jasper?
And all the way home, all I could say was, Jesus, 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 breathe life into my baby. I just screamed that all the way home.
Or what about the powerful interview with Dr. Robert Jeffress this past fall?
We have become so wrapped up in this world, we have forgotten this world is not our home, the Bible says. Our citizenship is in heaven.
There were so many great Family Talk moments this year, it may be hard for you to pick your favorite. But don't worry, we've done it for you. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2017 Family Talk Best Of Broadcast Collection. These entertaining and informative programs are sure to bless you and become a cherished part of your family resource library. This compelling CD set is our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 to support Family Talk. To join Dr. Dobson and Family Talk in serving families, please call 877-732-6825 or visit us online at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. Dobson today, and we are excited to continue our Best of the Best broadcast series from 2017 with a powerful speech about the negative effects bullying has on children and the deep wounds that bullying causes that never fully heal.
Maybe I could say by then the damage was done. I was very small because of all my hospitalization and physical struggles. I was very introverted because I was afraid of people, always afraid of what they might think, what they might say. And now it kind of interests me why I was so interested in monsters when I was young. I guess in a way I figured that I was one.
Now that was an excerpt from our guest today, author Frank Peretti. He is a very, very well-known author of critically acclaimed books like This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. On this edition of Family Talk, Frank Peretti will retell the story of his childhood and how it was marred by the emotional scars of bullying. Mr. Peretti delivered this moving speech at a youth conference in Ontario, Canada. Let's listen now to part one of Healing a Wounded Spirit, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I've done a few of these events before, and I've usually had all various topics I'll talk about. I was getting ready for this one, and I had this talk kind of in the back of my mind that I thought maybe I'd like to do someday, and I hadn't thought too much, I mean, really seriously about doing it, because I was thinking, I just don't know if it's ever going to be an appropriate talk to do. I don't know if people are going to be interested in this. I don't know if I should talk about it. And I was talking to my editors, my publishers, and they're saying, oh, Frank, we need to write something about this. You should do a book about it or something. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And anyway, I just kind of felt the Lord saying, Frank, when you go to Ontario, you need to talk about wounded spirits. Talk about wounded spirits. And I talked to the organizers of the event here, and I just said, I feel like God wants me to talk about this. And they said, go for it. Do it. We'll pray for you. And so here I am, and I don't know, I wrote everything down because I didn't want to forget anything. And I don't know how well I'm going to do or how much running around or cutting up I'm going to be able to do, because I got to get this out and share with you what God is sharing with me, and I hope it makes sense to you. Wounded spirits. Well, let me give you a little biography. A little bit of biography about Frank Peretti. When I was young, I was really into monsters. I loved monsters. Of course, for me, it was Frankenstein, and it was the Wolfman, and it was the Mummy, and it was Dracula, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and Them, and It, and the Thing, and That, Son of It, and, you know, all these really terrific monsters. It's kind of funny, I look back on it now, some of those little monster movies are pretty silly. I don't know, how many have ever seen the original Frankenstein with Boris Karloff? It's really interesting how monster movies have changed over the years. All Boris Karloff, you know, and people thought that was scary. Well, monsters have come a long way, and now you've got Schwarzenegger, you know, hasta la vista, baby, and, you know, things like that. Giant ants. How many ever saw the movie Them? With the hey, that movie was a big deal when I first saw it. Scared me to death. I thought it was great, and I saw it out on video, and so I bought it, and I played it, and man, those ants were about as realistic as a parade float. You know, they weren't very good. But I used to love to get, I had Frankenstein posters in my bedroom. I had a model of Frankenstein, the Mummy, Dracula, the Phantom of the Opera. I wanted to get a movie. Oh, The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I had all these monsters. And of course, after a while, my folks began to wonder about me. What is this kid? You know, I had monster magazines. To a certain extent, I guess they figure, well, that's the kid. He's interested in that stuff. And then after a certain point, you start thinking, well, what's wrong with that kid? There's something a little fringy about him. Is he maladjusted or something? Let me tell you something else about myself. When I was born, well, my mother went into the delivery room, but the doctor was kind of out of it or something. He wasn't there. He was late. He didn't show up. And whoever was trying to help my mom give birth to me didn't do it right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I got injured pretty good when I was born. Developed a big old tumor on this side of my neck. I still got the scars there. The whiskers hide it a little bit, but had this big old tumor, and the doctors figured they'd have to operate what right away, and so I went through several surgeries before I was even 1 year old. Of course, then whatever the problem was, this malignancy or this infection or whatever this thing was, it's got a name that long, you know. It spread into my tongue. And my tongue became a big growth that hung out of my mouth about that far. It's big, black, scabby, and running. It's a horrible thing to look at. And I kind of grew up with that for my first 5 or 6 years. When I finally learned how to talk, I learned how to talk with this tongue sticking out of my mouth. During that time, of course, what's nice is you're living at home and you got your mom and your dad and your brothers that love you, and you don't think about it. It doesn't bother you because you've got the joy and the love in your heart and you got a good family home. That's what I had. Of course, then it came time to go to school. And it's kind of tough, you know. It's one of life's thorny features. Everybody makes you go to school. You have to go. Your parents make you go. The teachers expect you to be there. You can even go up to a cop on the street during a school day and he'll say, hey kid, why aren't you in school? Everybody makes you go to school, and it's kind of a helpless, trappy kind of feeling. You don't really have an option. So I went to school with a big, black, scabby, runny growth hanging out of my face. And that was the first time I really came to realize that I had a big, black, scabby, runny thing hanging out of my face, because the kids at school made it a point to remind me and let me know. And this was something I dealt with clear up until junior high. I had lots of surgeries, so we finally got it trimmed down. They cut all underneath of it so I could talk. And praise the Lord, I guess that's part of his purpose, because I wouldn't be able to talk to you today without his healing touch upon me. But it took until the 7th grade and surgery and speech therapy and whatever else to get that thing fixed and finally get the tongue inside my mouth. Maybe I could say by then the damage was done. I was very small because of all my hospitalization and physical struggles. I was very introverted because I was afraid of people. Always afraid of what they might think, what they might say. And now it kind of interests me why I was so interested in monsters when I was young. I guess in a way I figured that I was one. I identified with monsters because What made monsters cool to me was they were ugly, they were rejected, they were misunderstood, they were picked on. But you know, the thing about monsters that I liked that was really cool was they seemed to have some kind of control over their situation. They weren't victims, they made victims. Usually they were trapped, they were robbed of dignity, but they always had a way of fighting their way out. Frankenstein was tormented by Igor. He got even with Igor. The creature was caged in the marine tank, but he killed and clawed his way out. King Kong, they brought back and made a circus freak out of him, but he escaped and terrorized New York. I mean, the monsters, they could control their situation. They had power over other people. The Incredible Hulk, all he had to do was turn green and start breaking things. It was great. I think I identified with monsters because they had power. From Frankenstein to the Terminator, they could scare people and nobody messed with them. When they were in an unpleasant situation, they could do something about it. They could kill their enemies, they could scare the scientists, they could make the women scream. Hey, I want to tell you, monsters got respect from the girls. Of course, you never saw a girl go out on a date with a monster, but that's beside the point. And I think there's a lot of you right here, right now, who maybe you know a little bit how that feels. Like someone constantly stabbing or kicking you, and everywhere you turn for help, all you get is, well, you have to be there. You have no choice. You have to go. You have to be in that situation. We can't change anything. Now, here's what haunts me and concerns me. And pardon me for always looking down here, but I want to make sure I don't miss anything. You know, if you cut your finger, it hurts for a little while, but eventually it'll heal up. If you're okay inside, the injury is on the outside. You can handle it. But like it says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? In hard times, injuries, sickness, if you're feeling good in your soul, that'll get you through. But when your soul is wounded, how do you put a bandage on a wounded soul? A wounded spirit. I'm talking today about the wounded spirits that might be sitting in this room right now. An injury to your body, depending on the seriousness, it'll always heal. But you know, a wounded spirit can stay wounded for years. And it can hurt for years. You probably know who you are. You probably know which ones I'm talking to right now. You're the one who has to take the little pricks and barbs and stabs most every day, and there just doesn't seem to be anything you can do about it. You're trapped and you feel helpless because you don't think there's any alternative. Maybe you're the one who lies awake at night dreading every morning because of the people waiting for you at school. They have a name for you. It's not your real name, it's the one they gave you, something that labels you as inferior, ugly, or stupid. And you know, there are others who you don't even know them, and they don't even know you, but they know that name, and they call you by that name, and they've never bothered to ask you what your real name is. It's their mission in life to take away your dignity. They spit on you, they spill their drinks on you, they trip you and knock the books out of your arms, and they stomp on your ankles from behind, and it doesn't matter what you wear, they laugh at it. If you own something new, they steal it, they spill on it, they tear it, they destroy it, and in PE class, what a perfect opportunity, because then they're in close proximity and all the activity is physical, and it's a perfect time to take physical advantage of you because you're smaller, you're weaker, maybe you're not so great an athlete. So they decide they will push you and shove you and throw you and kick you and trip you and molest you. You heard what I said, molest you. And there's nothing you like better than taking a shower with that bunch. You can't win. You're standing in front of everybody naked. And either you've got too much of something or not enough. It doesn't matter. Even the teacher's assistants and the student coaches get a kick out of taking away your dignity. It's easy for them to do. They're standing outside the shower with all their clothes on, making fun of you because you haven't got anything on. Pointing out your physical inferiorities. Pointing out those things about you that they think are funny. And the point isn't why they torment you. The point is to torment you because you're smaller, because you have a rare blood type, because you pick apples on your way home, you sing a particular song, you wear a particular sweater, you can't throw or catch a football, you can't run fast, you don't have the right clothes, or maybe just because you're different. Whatever that's supposed to mean. And the stabs come, and the pain comes, and the insults come, and you hurt every day. And don't you love the little band-aids that you hear? Well, just ignore them. You ever tried ignoring them? Yeah, you can kind of do that, but the pins and the stabs and the arrows go in anyway, and you feel it, even if you act like you don't. Well, just stay away from them. Oh, yeah, right. Like I have a choice which lunchroom I'm going to sit in, which squad I have to line up in, which desk I have to sit in, which direction I have to walk home from school, and of course, in PE, everyone is required to take a shower. If you say anything, you're a snitch and a wimp. Now, if you had a choice, no, you wouldn't be there. Get up in the morning, oh, I can't wait to go to school so everybody can pick on me. I can't wait to see all the jocks and the cool kids look down their noses at me and mock and abuse me and make me feel like scum. But you don't have a choice, do you? You have to be there at school, after all. It's school. You have to be there. Sometimes it's hard to imagine the teachers are going to care. Go up to a teacher and say, I don't want to be here. Oh, yes, I understand. Go home. Be free. Sometimes it's tough to talk to your parents. You're not really sure what they're going to say. After all, they're the ones that still make you go to school. They're authority figures, just like the teachers. So you're in a situation that causes you great pain, but because you're a kid and all the authority figures say you have to be there, you go every day and you endure it every day and you get stabbed every day. And after a while, the wounds, the deep searing wounds remain and fester and infect you. Now, you know, you get to that point and things start happening in your head. You start looking for some kind of imaginary solution. You start to fantasize about what I would do if only I could. I am 48 years old. I still remember the names and can see the faces of the kids in my school that made my life a hell day after day after day after day. And I also remember the thoughts I had in my head and what I wished I could do to them. Because I grew up in a Christian home, of course, I had to deal with these thoughts and try to deal with them in constructive ways. I guess I got into monsters because they always win, at least for the bulk of the movie. But you know, monsters aren't the only way to go. Nowadays, there are other ways to identify with those who have power, who can do something about their situation, who feel trapped. Instead of going into monsters, you can gravitate to violent video games where you can vent your pain and your anger by blasting your enemies. You can watch movies where somebody solves their situation by shooting everybody and blowing everything up. You can start living in a fantasy world in which you're the guy with all the power and all the guns. You can make a video for a class project in which you dress in trench coats, carry guns, and blow away all the jocks. You can customize the bloody shoot 'em up game Doom, creating two shooters instead of one, giving them extra weapons and unlimited ammunition, and programming the game so that the people they encounter can't fight back. You can find another monster to identify with. Adolf Hitler, a tyrant who had total life or death control over millions, who could scare and terrorize people, who could solve all his problems with guns and bombs. You can fill your mind with Nazi mythology, wear black shirts with swastikas, speak German in the halls, talk about whom you hate and whom you'd like to kill. You can give in to the hate that grows out of your wounds, talk about and plan an attack at your school so much and for so long that eventually, as the book of James warns, the thought becomes an act, and the act brings forth death. And finally, on April 20th, Hitler's 110th birthday, you can carry out your fantasy. And what better place than the school where everyone from the parents and teachers on down has all the power and you don't? Then you can leave behind a suicide note supposedly written by Eric Harris that says, "Your children who have ridiculed me, who have chosen not to accept me, who have treated me like I am not worth their time are dead. They are, expletive, dead. I may have taken their lives and my own, but it was your doing. Teachers, parents, let this massacre be on your shoulders until the day you die."
Those are chilling words from author Frank Peretti, and they bring us to the end of part one of a message entitled Healing a Wounded Spirit, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you or someone you know is struggling with emotional and or physical scars as a result of bullying, we urge you to call the American Association of Christian Counselors at 1-800-526-8673. When you call, you'll be connected with a licensed counselor who will encourage you and help you through this tough time. Again, that number for the American Association of Christian Counselors is 800-526-8673. You can also check them out online at aacc.net to locate a counselor near you or to find useful material on this difficult issue of bullying. Again, you'll find all this information online at aacc.net. Also, if listening to today's program has motivated you to seek out prayer for a situation you've been facing, or if you'd like to intercede for someone else in your life that needs prayer, we would love to pray with you. You can call our customer service center at 877-732-6825, and one of our representatives will be willing and happy to pray with you for whatever you need. Again, the toll-free number to call, 877-732-6825. We hope you've been enjoying our Best of the Best broadcast series for 2017 throughout the month of December here, and we're excited that we'll be bringing you new guests and programs beginning in 2018. But we can't bring these fresh shows to you without your help. If you're able to support Family Talk with your tax-deductible financial contributions right now, go online to drjamesdobson.org and give a gift securely online, or you can call 877-732-6825 and pledge your financial support over the phone. Again, the toll-free number to call, 877-732-6825. And thanks so much for your consistent backing of our ministry. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Frank Peretti's compelling talk on healing a wounded spirit, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, wishing you a great rest of your day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Have you ever wondered why boys and girls harass and intimidate each other in school or on the playground?
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
The Journal of Developmental Psychology recently conducted a study of 452 boys in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades, and it revealed that those who taunt weaker peers and are rebellious at school are often the most popular kids in their classes. Dr. Philip Rodkin of Duke University explained this dynamic when he said these boys may not hesitate to use physical aggression as a social strategy because it's worked in the past. In other words, bullies are rewarded socially for harassing kids below them in the pecking order, which explains why so many of them do it. As parents, it's our responsibility to preserve the mental and physical health of our children. I don't buy the old argument that children should be left to work out their problems on their own. If a child is being bullied and wounded by his peers, don't be afraid to intervene. In doing so, you'll be sending a clear message to the children around you about what kind of behavior will and won't be tolerated by society. And that's a lesson that every child needs to learn. It is possible to stop kids from bullying. More than that, it's our obligation